What caused Iraq to descend into a horrific intercommunal civil war in 2005-2006 were not ancient hatreds between Sunni and Shia, Kurd and Arab. What caused them to descend into that violence, quite frankly, was the security vacuum that the United States created after we pulled down Saddam Hussein's government in 2003 and effectively replaced it with nothing.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news. This week, the military drawdown in Iraq.
The Obama administration's promised drawdown of U.S. troops in Iraq is underway 7 years after the start of the Iraq War. American forces have maintained order since the ouster of Iraqi President Saddam Hussein, and the final objective is to withdraw all U.S. military by December 2010. Saban Center Director Kenneth Pollack says, despite serious internal issues, Iraq is ready for the transition and the bumpy road ahead.
Ken, Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, just returned from Iraq saying that, in military parlance, that we're good to go for the drawdown there.
Most people out there don't even recognize that U.S. forces in Iraq went from about 130,000 at the beginning of the year, and it will be down to about 50,000 by the end of August. It's happened seamlessly. The military has done an absolutely amazing job of cleaning up the messes it made, picking up all of the stuff it brought over, shipping most of it out of the country, consolidating what is left, and really getting to a much smaller footprint, one that will give the United States a much lighter touch, but nevertheless still a significant presence in Iraq.
Ken, you just returned from your 10th trip to Iraq. Did you see anything there to give you pause about this drawdown?
On the security side, there's no question that Iraq is much safer than it has been in years, and certainly infinitely safer than it was during the worst periods of the violence in 2006 and 2007. The country just feels very different. But by the same token, we need to remember that Iraq isn't out of the woods yet. Countries that have gone through a major intercommunal civil war like Iraq's have a very bad habit of having those civil wars recur. And the U.S. troops that remain in Iraq play a critical role as peacekeeper, as a neutral intermediary force, as a backstop to the Iraqi military, but also as the force that's there to make sure that all the Iraqi politicians and political leaders play by the rules.
The government in Iraq is in such disarray as to be non-existent. Ken, do you see any problems with the drawdown and the government in its current state?
It's been 4 months since Iraq's parliamentary elections, and we still don't have a government, and it's hard to know when we will get one. There is no real forcing event out there. There's no deadline by which the Iraqis absolutely have to have a government. We passed by whatever loose deadlines there were. The things that we're looking at now are things like, when does the money run out? At some point in time, if the money runs out, will the government then be forced to basically reconvene the parliament and move ahead with everything? But it's just not clear what could happen to actually force the Iraqis to pull together a government. And when you think about what could go wrong in Iraq, that's really where you have to look. It's all about Iraq's politics. If Iraq's politics go well, there's every reason to believe that Iraq can continue to stabilize, its economy can start to pick up again, and the country will slowly emerge from the depths of civil war, and the U.S. military presence will become increasingly unnecessary, and probably rather rapidly so. The problem is that Iraq's politics remain very much up for grabs. There are still lots of forces out there who would like to use all kinds of dirty tricks and violence to advance their own ends. And there are a lot of other Iraqis and Iraqi political leaders who are simply frightened that their rivals will resort to violence.
How do Iraqi civilians feel about this move?
The Iraqis are fiercely proud. They are very nationalistic. It is humiliating for them to be occupied, and they want very much to control their destiny once again. By the same token, a great many Iraqis remain very frightened that the civil war that was consuming the country in 2005, 2006, 2007 will be allowed to recur. They're very afraid that their political leadership is not the best one for their country, that their political leaders really don't want what's best for the Iraqi people, and that their political leaders will resort to violence very quickly if left to their own devices. And so what you often find from Iraqis is this desire to see the U.S. leave as soon as possible, but not one day sooner.
Ken, some observers say that the situation that existed in Iraq before our surge are still there today, and that the drawdown is only going to exacerbate those problems. Is that right?
The United States does have a responsibility in Iraq, born both of the fact that we are the country that not only toppled Saddam Hussein, but of greater importance, created a security vacuum in the wake of his fall, which then led to a horrific civil war in Iraq. And we owe it to the Iraqis to ensure that that civil war doesn't recur. We also owe it to ourselves, because Iraq, whether we like it or not, is absolutely vital to American interests. And if we allow Iraq to fall back into a civil war, it is going to be incredibly dangerous and incredibly painful for the United States. It will affect our interests throughout the Middle East. It will affect our economy because of Iraq's role in the global oil economy. It is something that, quite frankly, we don't want to deal with either. And so for our own interests, we have a residual commitment to Iraq that means that we need to see it through to real stability. Iraq has come a long way. There is still a long way to go.
Ken, thank you so much for your time here today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. I'm Gigi Hinton. We'll see you next week at Brookings.
At Brookings is produced by the Brookings Institution. To learn more about the issues discussed on At Brookings, visit our website at brookings.edu.